Okay, good morning, Rav Osai. As always, I'd like to welcome everyone to the Sunday morning shiur. We know that the Chazal say, "Wafum tzara agra," that the reward for a mitzvah is commensurate to the difficulty with which it was done. And I think coming to an early morning shiur on the day after they changed the clock is definitely tzar for everybody, and therefore it certainly should appreciate the fact that there's an extra schus that comes from the learning today.
That includes you, of course.
That includes me. Yeah, I was talking to myself also. Okay. All right. When we speak about Purim, so obviously we know that Purim is a yontif which has several mitzvahs associated with it. We have the mitzvah of hearing the reading of the Megillah, which actually is the only mitzvah on Purim that is done night and day. We also have the mitzvahs of the Mishloach Manos and the mitzvah of Matanos Lavyonim. We have the mitzvah of the Sudas Purim. But somehow, over the generations, the thing which has sort of colored Purim, which has given Purim a little bit of an extra flavor, I guess, and made it stand out, is based on a one-line Gemara, a statement in the Gemara, which we find in the Gemara Megillah on Daf Zayin Amid Beis. And I apologize that we should have underlined where the starting point of the Gemara is, but if you look on the handout, I would say approximately halfway, or slightly more than halfway down the sheet, it's at the last two words of the line, Amar Rava. The Gemara says, Amar Rava, Rava said, Mechayev Inish Lipsume Bepuria, that a person is obligated with Sume Bepuria. Lipsume, Rashi says, means Lehishtaker Biyayim. A person is obligated to get drunk on Purim. That's what the words mean. Adlo Yoda Bein Orer Haman Lebaruch Mordechai. To the point that he does not know between Orer Haman, cursed be Haman, and Baruch Mordechai, blessed be Mordechai. That is the Gemara. This line of the Gemara has become larger than life and greatly, greatly influences the way Purim is observed. But this is what it says. It says, in other words, in addition to the obligations that we have on Purim, as we mentioned, we listed off, hearing the Megillah and so forth, it sounds from the Gemara that there is an obligation on Purim for a person to become drunk. Very, very curious thing. Now we know that drunkenness in the Torah is not held to be a favorable, is not looked upon favorably, right? In the Torah there are two incidents of people getting drunk, and they both led to negative results, they both led to bad things which took place. You have the story of Lot, which we find in, first the story of Noach, which we find in Parshas Noach, that he got drunk, and that led to a not good result, and so too the story of Lot, which we read about in Parshas Vayera. So therefore we have in the Torah in general a negative feeling towards drunkenness, and yet here we have it, the Gemara says a person is obligated to get drunk on Purim. Okay, so this is what I would like to discuss. This is the topic of today's shiur, Adlo Yoda. What is this about? Now, if we stopped right here, so you would say, all right, so we'll have everyone should have a Freilichim, a happy Freilichim Purim, and that's it. You know, we'll bring out in fact, Reb Harvey mentioned that he regretted not bringing some bottles to put out this morning in honor of the shiur, besides the coffee and the orange juice. We could have gotten into the spirit already. But nevertheless, right, we have to understand the context of this halacha. So, the Gemara continues, and the Gemara brings down one of the more bizarre incidents you'll ever see in the Chazal. The Gemara says, Rabba v'Rav Zera avdu sudas purim v'hadi hadadu. The Gemara relates that Rabba and Rav Zera, two of the Amoraim, two of the rabbis of the Talmudic period, were making the sudas purim together, ifsum, and they became intoxicated. Says the Gemara, Kom Rabba Shachte L'Rav Zera. Rabba got up And literally, if we translate the Gemara literally, Rabbah got up and slaughtered Reb Zeira. Rabbah got up and killed Reb Zeira. Right? Never turn your back on a rabbi. Come Rabbah, Shachtei Reb Zeira. Rabbah got up and murdered Reb Zeira. This is what the Gemara says. Unbelievable. Another, quite a poem, Suda. You know, this is definitely one of the more, in the history of the Klal Yisrael, there have been many, very noteworthy Purim Sudas, no doubt, but this one made it into the books, right? No one ever had Purim shtick like this. Rabbah got up and murdered Reb Zeira. As the Gemara says, continues the Gemara, so Reb Zeira, after all, is one of the leading sages of the Talmud, says the Gemara, Lamachar boy Rachmei, so the next day, I guess when everybody came back to earth, Rabbah got up, and he was mispalo, he prayed, and he brought him back to life. Rabbah, again taking the Gemara literally, Rabbah made a Tchias HaMesim, Rabbah was mispalo and brought Reb Zeira back. Says the Gemara, Lishana, so the next year, Amalei, so the next year, as Purim was approaching, so Rabbah once again was going to be hosting a Purim Suda, and he sent out the invitations. And he sent an invitation to Reb Zeira. Right? So he said to him, Lishana, Amalei, Nesi Ma'ar, let the master come, let the rabbi come, and never Suda's Purim Bahadi Adodi. Right? Let's one good thing leads to the next. Let's have another Purim Suda together. Amalei, to which Reb Zeira responded, Lo b'chol shaita v'shaita misrachish nisa. Reb Zeira said, I'm not, if you don't mind, nothing personal, but I will decline the very generous invitation because of the fact that miracles don't happen all the time. And therefore, last year, you were able to bring me back to life, but this year, there are no guarantees. That was really impressive that you did that last year, but there are no guarantees you can be able to do that this year, and therefore, if you don't mind, I will seek a Purim Suda elsewhere. This is the Gemara.
The expression is, first time, shame on you.
Right. Okay, alright, so this is the Gemara. Very, very bizarre Gemara, and this concludes the entire discussion in the Shas of the drinking on Purim. This is the entire Gemara. So now, what do we make of this? So first of all, in terms of understanding, I mean, before we go any further, any halakhic analysis of the Gemara, we have to understand what in the world, I mean, Rabbah killed Reb Zeira, I mean, this is, what kind of behavior is this? So the Marsha in his commentary to the Gemara explains that it doesn't mean literally that he killed him, but rather it means that they got so drunk that they drank so much that Reb Zeira became seriously ill. It doesn't mean literally. The Gemara sometimes uses expressions a bit loosely. The Gemara is saying here that Shachtei or Reb Zeira, which implies that he actually killed him. So the Marsha explains it doesn't mean that. It means that he gave him at this Suda, he gave him so much to drink. He provided so much for him to drink that Reb Zeira became very, very sick. And therefore, it took Rabbah to have a special tefillah for him in order to restore his health. So it wasn't actually that Rabbah killed him, and it wasn't actually that Rabbah made a Tchias HaMesim, but rather it was simply the fact that they got very sick, and Rabbah had to bring Reb Zeira back to health. This is the way the Marsha explains the Gemara, and this is probably the way it would make sense to us. Okay, so now, so that's as far as what happened. Now the question is, what are we left with from this Gemara? In other words, what does this tell us? So first of all, we have to understand, the first thing that has to be understood here is that, as I mentioned earlier, how is it that such a thing is allowed or even encouraged? I mean, after all, the Chazal looked very, the Torah looks down upon drinking, the Torah looks down upon drunkenness, so how is it that all of a sudden on Purim you have this mitzvah? What kind of bizarre, crazy thing is this? So the explanation for this is given in a number of places. David Ram, one of the Rishonim, says it. It's paraphrased by Eliyahu Rabbah, but if you look on the sheet of the Mishnah Brewer, which is the second sheet, side one, all right, in the Bir Halacha, the first, the bottom left, the first paragraph in the Be'er HaWacha, he asks this question. He says, "V'imtomer heichis chayvu chazal mashenisker b'torah b'neviim b'kama makomos l'michshol gadol." How could the Torah allow and encourage something which is looked upon very poorly? So he explains, "V'yesh lomar mipnei shekol nisim shenasu Yisrael b'me'a chashverosh hoyu ayidei mishta." Because we find in the story of Purim, if you follow carefully, you will see that every positive event that happened for the Klal Yisrael during the story of the Megillah took place at a wine feast, right? Namely, the first positive thing that happened was that Vashti, the first wife of Ahasuerus, was brought down because of events which took place at a drinking fest, right? And that was the beginning of the Yeshua for the Klal Yisrael. That's why it's in the Megillah. That story is in the Megillah because that set the stage for Esther's emergence. So therefore, that was the first positive thing that happened through drinking wine. And v'chein inyan haman u'mapalaso hoya ayidei mishta. And so too, we find that every subsequent event, the meeting between Haman and Ahasuerus took place. It says, "V'amela for Haman yashvu lishtos." We have that pasuk in the Megillah, and then we have that when Esther invited Ahasuerus to come to the special meeting to speak to him, to plead with him to save the Jewish people, it was also the Mishdayayin. So one of the common threads that we find in all of the positive events in the Megillah was the fact that they took place b'mishdayayin. They took place amidst the drinking of wine. So therefore he says, "L'chein chayvu chachamim l'shtaker." Therefore, to commemorate this miracle, the Chazal said that a person should drink a lot of wine, not for the purpose of getting drunk and the results that come from it, but rather because of the fact that by drinking wine, a person is remembering the nes. Right? The idea here is to remember the miracle that happened. The miracle of Purim that happened, all of it centered around Mishta Hayayim. It all centered around the drinking of wine parties, and therefore, to commemorate that, to remember that, the Chazal made it that a person should drink wine on Purim. And in order that a person should remember the miracle and should be brought home, so we drink a lot of wine on Purim in order that we should remember the miracle. This is the explanation that's given by the Rishonim for this Gemara. Okay. Now, what is meant? So therefore, the Chazal said that in order to remember the miracle, a person should drink wine. What is the concept of ad lo yada, right? So what then is, what is meant when Rabba said that a person should drink wine ad lo, where Rabba actually said a person should drink wine ad lo yada ben or hamel baruch Mordechai? What is that supposed to mean? So as far as the explanation for this, there are many, many different explanations. If you look in all the Svarim, you will see explanation after explanation, interpretation after interpretation. It's brought in one of the Svarim that there was a great rabbi who every year on Purim took upon himself to give another explanation for this Gemara. But nonetheless, I would just share two of them with you. What is this idea of not knowing between Or Haman and Baruch Mordechai? It sounds like such a strange thing, right? That a person should get confused. What does that mean? We should forget who the good guy is and who the bad guy is. We should confuse the hero and the villain. What kind of idea is that? So one explanation which is given by the Taz, it's brought in the Shulchan Aruch, is that he says a very interesting thing. He says because the salvation, the Yeshua, the saving of the Jewish people that took place in the story of Purim, there were two aspects to it. One of them was the downfall of Haman. The downfall of Haman in itself would have been enough to avoid the disaster, right? To avert the impending tragedy. So what was needed was for Haman to be knocked down from his high position, to be disgraced, which he was. Had that happened alone, that pretty much would have been the end of the problem. However, we find that another good thing happened for the Klal Yisrael, namely that Mordechai was promoted and became a member, a close advisor to the king. So this was a second positive event that took place. And that was a second benefit, which in a certain sense did not have to be. That was something which was not so central, not so crucial. All we really needed in order to be saved was for Haman to be knocked down. So therefore, just like on Pesach, we have, everybody knows, the famous part of the Haggadah where we say Dayenu, we sing it, right? We speak about all the Nisim that Hashem made, this, that. In other words, not enough He took us out of Mitzrayim, but He did this for us and that for us. And by each one, we accentuate, we focus on it by saying Dayenu, Dayenu, would have been enough, it would have been enough. So too over here, we had two miracles. We had the fact that Haman was deposed, that Haman was removed from his position, and then on top of that, there was an extra element of Chasdei Hashem, an extra benefit that God gave to the Jewish people, that Mordechai was put into a high position, which benefited them in a lot of different ways. So therefore, the explanation is, says the Taz, that a person is, the idea of not knowing the difference between Or Haman and Baruch Mordechai means that a person should drink to the extent that he loses sight of that. In other words, I'm celebrating so much the celebration of Purim that I no longer am able to discern that there were actually two miracles that happened. In other words, in reality, when we focus on the story, there were two miracles, right? And the celebration of Purim should be to such an extent that we sort of, you get to the point with so much simcha, from so much drinking to commemorate the nace, that we sort of confuse the issues. We know a person with a sharp mind can distinguish and say there were actually two separate things that happened here, right? In the yeshivish learning, as they call it, right? We have the famous concept of there is shnei dinim, right? We identify a person's analyzing the sugi and the Gemara says that there are actually two issues over here. There are not just one, there are two, right? That requires a certain sharpness of the mind. So a person celebrates on Purim would no longer have that sharpness. This is the Taz's explanation for Abu Yoda ben Ar Haman LeBaruch Mordechai. Another explanation which is given by the Rishonim, it's found in the Sefer Aguda, this is I think pretty famous, that in the Gematria, right, if a person does the numerical values of the numbers, so Ar Haman and Baruch Mordechai both have the same Gematria. Okay, I did not have the time to try it out, but this is what's brought down in Sfarim, that they both equal 502, and therefore, so the Rishonim say that what's meant, that a person should not know the difference, it doesn't mean he shouldn't know the difference between Haman and Mordechai, but rather it means that he should not have the presence of mind that he's able to calculate the Gematria. In other words, it means in order for a person to figure that out, right, to sit down and say, okay, how much is Or Haman? Okay, Aleph equals 1 and Resh equals 200 and, excuse me, and so on and so forth, right? So that requires a certain presence of mind. So that being the case, the Chazal is saying that you should lose that ability. Those are two of the explanations of not knowing between, but this is why we have this idea of not knowing the difference between Or Haman and Baruch Mordechai. This is what it represents. In other words, it's a way of saying that a person should celebrate to the point that we lose the sharpness of mind, the clarity of thought, because we're so caught up in the celebration. This is what they say. Okay, so these are two of the explanations for Adel Ol Yada, and as I say, the idea for all of this is because we're commemorating the miracle. Okay, which brings us to the halacha. So now we have to understand, so what is the halacha? Right? Does it remain this way? Do we say this or not? So the psak of many of the Rishonim, spearheaded by the Rif, one of the major halachic authorities in terms of determining what we do in the Shulchan Aruch, so the Rif and others paskin like the Gemara, that the Gemara says Chayav Inish Lipsume B'Purim, a person is obligated to drink on Purim to this level, and this is brought in the Halach. However, it is not agreed upon universally. This is not something which is muskam, not everybody agrees to this. There is an opinion which is brought, it's actually on the first sheet, side B. Okay, on the first sheet, side B, if you look at the top half of the sheet where it says Chidushei Aran, so the last two lines of that section, so the Ran quotes, this is found also in the Ran's commentary on the back of the Gemara, so the Ran brings down from one of the earlier Rishonim, he says, Kosovar have Ephraim Zal, Me'ahu uvda the kam rava v'shachte l'Reb Zeira, by the fact that the Gemara relates the story where Rava got up and killed Reb Zeira, idchile memra de rava, says Rabbeinu Ephraim, one of the authoritative Rishonim, that that after all, when the Gemara presented the halacha, the Gemara said the halacha, and then the Gemara brought a story. Now the Chazal didn't just tell stories for, you know, to have a good laugh, right? If they recorded a story in the Gemara, especially in a halachic discussion, usually that story has bearing on the halacha. So says Rabbeinu Ephraim, that originally, the way you read the Gemara is like this. Rava started off by saying that a person is in fact obligated to get drunk. However, the Gemara says, the Gemara proceeds to say, look what came from that. Right? In other words, sounds like a nice thing, go get drunk, go have a good time on Purim. Says, continues the Gemara, but look at what the result was. The result was that one great rabbi got up and had a very negative impact on another. Right, whether he killed him or whether, as we say, got him sick, whatever the case may be. But the Gemara is recording that incident to bring out a point, says Rabbeinu Ephraim, to bring out a point that this idea that Rava proposed is not a good one. And therefore, says Rabbeinu Ephraim, v'lo shaper dami l'mevet hachi. Therefore, it is not appropriate to do such a thing. In other words, in the opinion of a number of Rishonim, he's not the only one that says it, the Baal Amar says it, others, the halacha that a person should get drunk or should drink a great deal on Purim is pushed out of the Gemara. Why is it pushed out of the Gemara? Because of the fact that we find that we had to go, after all, the Gemara related this incident. What was the point of relating this incident? Must be to tell us that this is not the correct halacha. So says Rabbeinu Ephraim. Okay, so now the question is, so where do we go from here? Right, so we have a machlokus and the Rishonim, right? On the one hand, we could follow the opinion of the Riv. Going to the Riv, we have a freilich and Purim, right? Everybody puts out the drinks. Going to Rabbeinu Ephraim, no such thing. Should be pushed out of our world. Now, an interesting observation can be found here in the Pre-Chodesh. The Pre-Chodesh, writing in a commentary on the Shulchan Aruch, actually says he doesn't understand the opinion of Rabbeinu Ephraim, because he says, if anything, the Gemara, the story that's related in the Gemara, is, if anything, to the contrary of what Rabbeinu Ephraim says, if anything, that proves the point that you should drink. Why? Because he says, I'm not going to read it inside, but he says that if in fact the halacha was that you should not drink, if that's the point of the Gemara, so then presumably, if the incident of Rava and Reb Zeira was meant to illustrate that this is a bad idea, so then probably they should have gotten the picture that it was a bad idea as soon as it happened. So yet we find in the Gemara that after it happened, the following year, Rava invited Reb Zeira again. And what was Reb Zeira's response? Reb Zeira's response was, I don't want to come, you know, forgive me, but I will pass on the invitation because miracles don't happen all the time. Which means that Reb Zeira was expecting similar behavior out of Rava. Now, if, in fact, it is correct to say, as Rabbeinu Ephraim assumes, that the Gemara brought the story to show that this is not a good idea, so then they should have realized right away that it's not a good idea. In which case, it should not have repeated itself. So when Rava sent the invitation to Reb Zeira should have accepted it, because he should have said, listen, I know for sure that's not going to happen again, right? Because after it happened last year, probably all the rabbis got together and said, we have to change the policy, right? So why do we find in the Gemara that Reb Zeira was afraid to attend the Purim Seder? Says the Pre-Chodesh that in his opinion, therefore, he doesn't understand the Rani, he doesn't understand Rabbeinu Ephraim. He says, what do you see from the fact that the Gemara records the story is a raya that you shouldn't do it? He says, just the opposite. The fact that the Gemara records the story is a raya that you should do it. Okay? Sounds like he has a good point. So it's hard to know. It's very hard to know. On the other hand, you know, so we have two ways to read the Gemara. You could read the Gemara that the Gemara brings the story of Rav and Reb Zeira to illustrate the way, let's say, Rabbeinu Ephraim understands it, to illustrate that this is a good, bad idea, and therefore scratch it from the record, even though Rava had originally proposed the idea of drinking on Purim, nevertheless, it was scratched from the record. However, says that's one way to look at it. However, another way to look at it is that the Gemara brought the story in order to show that, to the contrary, that somehow, despite the fact that a terrible disaster apparently took place, nevertheless, you should still continue the practice. There are two ways to read this Gemara. Okay, so the question is, how does this play out in the Halacha? How does this play out in the Shulchan Aruch? So, if you turn back to the sheet, to page 2, side 1, right, back to the Shulchan Aruch. Okay, so we have over here a difference of opinion between, apparently, between Sephardic and Ashkenazic practice, which would sort of, depending on your nature, you may want to be invited to a Sephardic Purim Suda. Okay, so it says like this, the halacha that is paskened by the Mechaber, the Shulchan Aruch, he follows the opinion of the Rif straight down the line, and he says that he brings the Gemara, Rava's statement, Chayav Inish Lipsume Bepuria, that a person is obligated to drink on Purim, Adu Yodam Inar Hamel Baruch Mordechai. This is quoted by the Rav Yosef Kara, the author of the Shulchan Aruch, brings this without any dissenting opinion, and he says that's the halacha. Okay, so you know, if you go by that psak, then there you have it. He apparently would agree with the Pri Chodesh, right? That the story in the Gemara, if anything, is a proof that this is the correct practice. And therefore, he says that that's the way we would learn. This is what he says. Okay. However, if we look at the Ramah, we continue here. Look at the Ramah Hagah. There are those who say, Yeshomrim, there are those who say that you don't have to get so drunk. But rather, a person should drink more than he usually drinks, and by doing that, he should become drowsy and fall asleep. And through sleep, if he drinks and he gets drowsy and he falls asleep, well, a person who falls asleep, obviously in his sleeping state, does not know the difference. If you go over to a sleeping person and ask them what is the difference between Aruch Haman and Baruch Mordechai, you will not get a response. Right? You certainly will not get an accurate response. Right? So therefore, says the Ramah, that's what you should do. This is what you should do. In other words, he doesn't actually say it that way. He says there are those who say that you don't have to get so drunk, but rather to do this. Now, the question is, where did he get this from? Now, who says that? Right? In other words, the Mechaber of the Shulchan Aruch says that he's going straight with the Gemara the way it was read, the way we read it the first time, the way the Rif explains it, that a person is obligated to get drunk, finished, right? That's what the Gemara says, and the story of Rabbi Rav Zeira somehow is something that is supposed to inspire us, right? That this is the way it's supposed to be done. So that's the opinion of the Shulchan Aruch, the Mechaber, the Shulchan Aruch. But the Ramah is coming in with a new thing over here. He says, Ein Sarv L'shtaker Kolkach. He says, you shouldn't drink so much. But rather, you should drink to the point that you get tired and fall asleep, and thereby you don't know the difference between Aram and Baruch Mordechai. Now, who said that? Right? Rabbeinu Ephraim said, right, there are two choices. Right? The first choice was the Rif's way of reading the Gemara, that the Gemara is coming right out and saying, that's what you're supposed to do. The Rabbeinu Ephraim alternative is that you shouldn't drink something, right? You shouldn't do that. Rabbeinu Ephraim said that the halacha is nidcha from the Gemara, right? So the Ramah seems to come up with some sort of compromise, right? Which is not typically found in the halacha, in the Shulchan Aruch. Usually they're relying on different sources, but who is the source for this? So, interestingly enough, so the Taz, in his commentary in the Shulchan Aruch, says that he said, when he explains the Ramah, he says that, in fact, The Ramah is reflecting Rabbeinu Ephraim. The Taz says that Rava said that a person should drink to the point that he doesn't know Ben Aram and Baruch Mordechai, Nidcha Meim Rezu, that in fact the Ramah is agreeing with Rabbeinu Ephraim, with the Ram, and saying that the Rava's statement was pushed out of the Gemara, and you shouldn't do that. Right, and since the Gemara brings down that story, that horrible story, therefore the Maskana of the Gemara is that we should not do that. This is the way the Taz explains the Gemara. But as I say, the question is, but okay, it's very hard to understand this Taz. It was late at night that I was looking at it, I was looking through the commentaries. I don't understand how he could say this, because if you go by Rabbeinu Ephraim, if you go by that opinion, they say that, I mean, he brings it himself. I mean, he says that a person should not drink because of the story in the Gemara. The story in the Gemara reverses the ruling of Rava. So if that's the case, so then where do we get this idea that you should drink, but you shouldn't drink to the point that you get crazy, but rather you should drink to the point that you fall asleep? Where do we find that? Where do we find that? Who said that? So it seems now the Ramah, I mean, if you look in the Ramah, you'll see that in the parentheses there they cite the source of Maril, was one of the Rishonim. But actually, it's a bit surprising to me that there's an earlier source than that who says this, and this would be the Rambam. And here we turn to the second sheet, side B, and I apologize that the sheets were not numbered, and as I was advised last week that we should put numbers on the sheets, I shouldn't have to say side A and side B, and hopefully for next week we'll have that. But the Rambam in relating the halacha that comes from this Gemara, so the Rambam says, halacha tesvav, keitzad chov asudazu, the Rambam speaks about the Sudas Purim, and he is of the opinion that, as are others, that the main focus of this idea of drinking on Purim revolves around the Purim Suda specifically. And he says the Rambam, Ketzach Chova Suda Zu, Sheyochol Basar V'Yisaken Suda Noah, that a person should eat meat, and he should set up for himself a very nice meal, Kefi Asher Timtzei Yado, to the degree that he can, V'Shose Yayin, and he should drink wine, Ad she yishtaker, until he gets drunk, the yirdam b'shichrus, to the point that he gets drunk and he falls asleep due to his drunkenness. So the Rambam apparently says this, and this it sounds now. The Rambam does not come out and say that that's what it means, Arahaman and Baruch Mordechai, but the Rambam is the one who says that he's the one who puts forth this idea that a person should drink to the point that he becomes drowsy. Now, in reality, this Rambam, I will tell you that there are a difference of opinion amongst the Mefarshim and the Rambam. Everybody here is wondering, where did the Rambam get this from? Right? Because after all, you have the Gemara, and as we explained it, there are two ways to read the Gemara. There are two ways to interpret it. You could interpret it the first way, the Rif's way, which is that straight down the line, that there is a mitzvah to drink, and despite what happened with Rav and Rav Zera, that should not dissuade anybody, and the Gemara recorded the story to tell us that, right? That's the Rif's way. And then there's Rabbeinu Ephraim's way, who says that the Gemara wrote that we have the statement, right, of Rava, that a person should drink, and then they brought the story to show that ruling was reversed. But the Rambam, it seems to be, in other words, the question that we had on the Ramah really is a question on the Rambam. In other words, okay, the Ramah, you know, the Ramah who wrote who made the additions to the Shulchan Aruch, who brought the Shulchan Aruch, he reconciled the Shulchan Aruch with Ashkenazic practice, but the fact of the matter is, so you say, where did he get his opinions from? He can't argue with the Rishonim. So we find that the Rambam says such a thing. But the question is, where did the Rambam get this from? Right? So it's unclear. It's unclear. And in the Mefarshim of the Rambam, there are two different opinions. There are those who say that the Rambam follows the opinion of Rabbeinu Ephraim. There are people who say that, right? If that's the case, so they say that really, therefore, the idea of Adlo Yoda Ben Aram Baruch Mordechai, to the extent that you go crazy, is not the halacha. Right? So then the question would be, where does he get this idea that you should drink even to this extent? Right? And the whole idea, the whole notion of drinking till you fall asleep, Right? Where does that come from? That obviously comes from the fact that it's, that what does sleeping do for anybody, right? Sleeping makes it that there's no difference between Aram and Baruch Mordechai. So if he follows Rabbeinu Ephraim, so that should not be that right? So that should not be part of the halacha, because according to Rabbeinu Ephraim, that degree of drunkenness was rejected. On the other hand, there are those who say that the Rambam weren't the Gemara like the Rif. Right, that the Rambam understood the Gemara, that the Gemara was not rejecting, that the story in the Gemara was not rejecting what had previously been said, and therefore the halacha would remain that you're supposed to drink. But then the question would be that if that's the case, who told the Rambam that you're supposed to go to sleep? Where do you see that? That's not what the Gemara said. The Gemara said, the story that the Gemara cites is not a story that backs that up. In other words, if the Rambam interpreted, see, if you just had the statement that you have to drink to the point that you don't know the difference between Haman and Mordechai, so then you could, that's open for interpretation. That you could say whatever you want. So somebody could say, you know what that means? That means, you know, a person a little more tame, you know, a little more not into the heavy drinking would say, okay, take it easy. All the Chazal meant by that was that you should fall asleep and you won't know the difference. You could say that, but the story that the Gemara brings doesn't back that up. So what did the Gemara bring that story for? Right, so it's a little hard, it's curious to know, where did they get this from? It does seem that the Rambam is the source of the Ramah's halacha, right? Even though, as I say, the Rambam does not spell out the difference between, he does not say that by falling asleep you will not know the difference between Aram and Baruch Mordechai, but nevertheless, why else should you fall asleep? And curiously enough, right, the usually the Mechaber, the Shulchan Aruch, is a very big Rambam fan, right, Rabbi Yosef Karo, who wrote the Shulchan Aruch based almost all of his rulings on the Pesach of the Rambam. And here it would seem that we have a difference of opinion how drunk a person is supposed to get. So it's a little hard to understand this. I saw a very fascinating thing in the Yad Ephraim commentary on the Shulchan Aruch, which I don't think would really explain the Rambam, but he says a very interesting thing nonetheless. A little bit it might help us. And that is, he says the following thing. And if you think that this halacha people didn't take seriously, listen to this. So Rabbeinu Ephraim says that V'li Atzoyer, he says, you know, we have in the commentaries of the Shulchan Aruch various opinions, says these commentary Yad Ephraim, Rabbi Ephraim Zalman Margolius, but one of the Achronim, he writes as follows. He says it was Nisparish B'chizoyim Laila. He said he had a dream, and in his dream somebody explained this to him. Right? He had, unbelievable, right? In other words, maybe that's why the Rambam says you should fall asleep, because good things can happen when you're sleeping. You know, you could, Chidush HaTorah could come to a person when they're sleeping, right? The Yad Ephraim, not to be confused with Rabbeinu Ephraim, the Yad Ephraim says that he had a vision, as he says, Chizoyim Ayur, that he was at night, he was sleeping, and in his dreams or whatever, somebody explained the Gemara. Right, I remember when I was in yeshiva, I had a roommate who was very, very into learning. And I remember one night I came in late, and he was sound asleep, and he was talking in his sleep, and he was saying over Divrei Torah in his sleep. I remember he was sitting there saying, according to this, we could explain Tosfos. It was amazing to me, such a thing, right? But as impressive as that is. As that happens even today, believe it or not. But the fact that as impressive as that is, but you know, he's saying that he had someone came into a dream and explained the Gemara to him. Maybe my roommate had that also. He just didn't ever admit it to it. But Rabbeinu Ephraim says like this. Yad Ephraim says like this. He says that the idea here is that a person should be besimcha. The idea is that we find the pasuk, we said it yesterday in the davening, Yayin Yisamach Levad Enosh, right, that wine makes a person happy. That we know that wine has a very positive quality. That David HaMelech said this is one of the reasons why there's a special bracha on wine, because of the fact that wine has the quality that it can make a person, give a person simcha, which is in and of itself, if it's done in the right context, is not a bad thing. So he says that if a person is besimcha, so the good thing about such an idea about taking a drink of wine is that it's very hard for a person to appreciate that those things which Hashem does for him when he's stressed, right? A person is tense and he's going from situation to situation. It's not always so easy to get a grip on oneself and to focus and to appreciate. So he says the idea, this whole idea of drinking on Purim is in order that a person should be besimcha, should be relaxed, and if he's relaxed, then he could sit down and appreciate all the good things that God has done for him, past and present, right? Is particularly in the story of Purim, he says that he could give thanks to Hashem through hachavas halev, through a relaxed state of the heart. So he says, therefore, says Yad Ephraim, he says that he was told in his dream the following explanation of the Gemara, that when the Gemara says a person should drink ad lo yada benor amor baruch Mordechai, it doesn't mean that he should drink to the point that he reaches that madrega, but like the Gemara says, ad v'lo ad v'chlal, which means up to that point. In other words, when the Gemara says, ad v'lo yada, the Gemara is not telling us the shear that a person is supposed to strive for, but rather, the Gemara is telling us at what point you've crossed the line. In other words, that's the line. A person should drink on Purim. Why should he drink? So we said because of, number one, because of the fact that all the miracles happen through Mishnah Ayayim. But in addition to that, it's not just that. Presumably there would be other ways to commemorate the miracles. But we also have the fact that through drinking, a person relaxes himself and therefore he can give thanks to Hashem properly. Right? When you're not relaxed, it's harder to do these things. It's harder to appreciate. So he says, so when the Gemara says, ad lo yada, the Gemara was saying, that's the line. In other words, if you got to the point that you don't know the difference between Ar Haman and Baruch Mordechai, that means you've gone too far, and at that point, it becomes counterproductive. Because the whole idea is to give thanks to Hashem, the whole idea is to be relaxed. But if you're crazy, then what good is going to come from that? Then it'll end up in a wild situation. So therefore he says that this is the gvul that that the Chazal put down for us. Right? If a person gets so drunk that he doesn't know the difference, he cannot discern between these two things, so then he's not going to be able to give proper thanks to Hashem. This, says the Yad Ephraim, was given to him in a dream. And then he writes, very interestingly, Vezbonin alof baboker. He said when he woke up in the morning, he wasn't willing to accept it so quickly. He sat down to learn, and he thought about it, he looked at the Gemara, he looked at the sources, and he decided, yes, it's a good explanation. V'ra'isi kinachonu, which means that even though, it's an interesting thing, in other words, you know, you would think he got something, somehow he had a dream explained to him this difficult Gemara, you would think, okay, go with it, but he wrote, you know, typical halachic style, you know, listen, it has to make sense, it has to work through all the sources, just because it came to me in some special, extra special way, extraordinary way, that doesn't mean anything. Right? It has to work out. So he says, I sat down in the morning, and I worked it out, and I saw that it was true. Now, this sort of puts a better light on the whole situation, right, and this would sort of tame everything down. Again, it's Ashkenazic posek, right? This would mean that the minig Ashkenaz, if we followed this, would be that the idea, you know, in other words, if you follow the riff like the Sfardim, right? The Sfardim will follow that walk on the Shulchan Aruch, so then Purim is going to be a wild scene, right? Then you have to drink to the point that no, there are no catches, the halachas, kipshuto, that you should drink agol yada b'nor hama baruch mardechai. By the Ashkenazic practice, and then it would depend, right? So according to the Yad Ephraim, he says that he has somebody told him in a dream, this is the Pshat and the Gemara. The problem is, though, with this also, that it doesn't fit into what the Ramah said, because the Ramah doesn't fit into the Rambam, right? We can't really use this for the Rambam, because the Rambam says that you should get drunk and fall asleep, right? Who said that? He wasn't told that in a dream, right? That wasn't the explanation. That wouldn't be consistent with what he was told, right? And even as far as what the Ramah says, right, that by falling asleep, you will not know the difference between Haman and Mordechai, so again, that doesn't fit with this. So, you know, this is a nice idea, but nevertheless, this would not necessarily resolve the problem that we have in understanding the Gemara the way they would be reading it. Now, just for the record, he is not the only one who says that not the only Ashkenazic source who says that a person should not get carried away on Purim, right? We have also in the Kolbo, which was written by one of the Rishonim, he says the following thing. I don't have it on the sheet, but he says a very nice idea. Another reason why a person should drink on Purim. In other words, to summarize, so far we have two ideas to the idea of why there's an inyan to drink at all. In other words, why don't we have this on Shavuos or on Pesach? Or, yeah, Pesach you have abacosis, but it doesn't have that goal, right? The goal is not to drink for the sake of drinking, right? For the sake of being happy, and you don't have this on Sukkot. So far we have two explanations. We have the explanation, which is, number one, that it's because everything, all the miracles happen through wine. We have the explanation, the dream of the Ad Ephraim, which is that it's in order that a person should be relaxed and appreciate God's goodness to him. And we have a third thing, very nice to know, in the Kolbo, that he says the following. He says that the reason why a person should drink on Purim is so that he should be kidei sheyirbe l'smach, in order that he should be happy, u'sameach lev yonim v'inochem osam. Because we know that on Purim there is an idea of making the poor people, the impoverished people, happy, right? We have the mitzvah of matanos lev yonim. So we know it's not so easy to do that, right? We have all the time. People come and ask for tzedakah, and, you know, as much as we give, Baruch Hashem, people give tzedakah, but nevertheless, it's not always easy to give tzedakah, as we mentioned in the past, to give it in the proper frame of mind. Sometimes we give it begrudgingly, sometimes, you know, we're not so happy about it. The person who's soliciting the tzedakah is made to feel like, you know, like a, you know, we wish he didn't exist. Says the Kolbo that if you drink on Purim, you will be relaxed, and then you will be able, you'll be in good spirits, and then you'll be able to give the tzedakah to the aniyim, to the avyanim, in a good way. This is what he says. He says, "Usameach avyanim, v'inachem osam, v'yidaber alibam." You'll be able to go and comfort them and speak nicely to them. V'zuhi asimcha shleima, says the Kolbo. This is the great simcha that is on Purim. Just as we know that the Rambam says elsewhere that is the most important idea on Purim, more than anything else, is the matanos lev yonim, right? Because of the fact that we find in the Rambam writes in Hilchos Yontif that on Yontif a person should go out of their way to try to help out those that are in need. That's the main Simchas Yontif, more than a person indulging themselves. So we find over here the same idea that a person should drink in order that he should be besimcha. Okay, so we have three ideas. Getting back, however, to the problem, where did the Ramah get this from? In other words, so, you know, where would the Ramah's psak that a person should drink, but just to the point that he falls asleep. So, as I say, from a technical standpoint, it's hard to know what the source of that ruling is. Where did he see that? In other words, it sounds like he saw that in what Rabbah said, Adlo Yada, but the story that's brought doesn't back that up. So I guess we would have to, in order, just off the top of my head, I guess what we would say in order to finish up here, we would probably have to say the following. We would probably have to say that the way the other Rishonim and the Rambam, let's say, reads the Gemara is that the, sort of a combination of the of what Rabbeinu Ephraim said, but without rejecting the halacha completely. And that is that in reality, the Gemara brought the story. We could say that the Rambam read the Gemara in the following way. Rava said that a person is supposed to drink Ad Lo Yada. The Gemara brings the story of Rava and Rav Zera to show that there are more than one way to interpret Ad Lo Yada. Right? Rava and Rav Zera clearly interpreted it that it meant to get to the person should be totally wild. Right? So to that, it could be that the Gemara is bringing the story not to reject the entire halacha that was said originally, but rather to qualify it. In other words, it could be that the Gemara is bringing the story to show us that when it says Adwa Yada, there are two ways to do it. You could do it the tame way, the Rambam's way, which is drink to the point that you'll be drowsy and fall asleep and then you won't know between Haman and Mordechai. Or you could do it Rabban Rav Zera's way. So, which is to drink to the point that you get wild, that you get drunk and you don't know the difference. So it could be that the Rambam's interpretation of the Gemara was that sort of a combination of, a combination of things, meaning that the story was brought down to reject not completely what Rava had said, but to reject a possible interpretation of what Rava had said. Meaning that Rava gave the ruling that you should drink Adua Yoda. There are two possible ways to interpret that. Says the Gemara, well, look what happened. We have a story, Rav and Rav Zeira, that Rav and Rav Zeira went ahead and got drunk and acted in this way to show us that that was not the intention of Adua Yoda. In other words, even though one might have interpreted Rava's words of Adua Yoda to get wild, says the Gemara, that's not the right way. But it's not a total rejection, but rather the ruling of Adua Yoda remains. Just the story in the Gemara was brought to say, interpret the ruling this way and not that way. That's the best I could come up with to explain how it's possible for the Rambam to come up with this, which seems to be the basis of the Rambam. I'm trying to finish. I'm sorry, I've been going over the time lately. You will ask me that you'll say, well, according to, what about the Prechadish's question, right? The Prechadish said that it doesn't seem that way, because then how come the next year, you know, Rabbah didn't change his practice? Rav Zeira was afraid to go to the Suda. So I don't know, but there has to be an answer to that question, because Rabbeinu Ephraim must have had an answer to that question. So that question, I guess, would remain. But nonetheless, it comes out that I think the Rambam's way is sort of the in-between. In other words, there are three shitas, to summarize. We'll end on this. There are three shitas. You have the first shita, which is the Rif, which seems to be the sack of the Shulchan Aruch, which is that a person should drink to get totally drunk. Then you have, on the other extreme, you have the Rabbeinu Ephraim Sat, which is that to drink to get drunk is inappropriate. I would point out that even according to that he does not disagree with the fact that there is some idea of drinking on Purim, because the Pasuk says that you may Mishta v'Simcha. The Pasuk says that Purim was set up to be days of Mishta, right? So therefore there is an idea of Mishta, but in Rabbeinu Ephraim's opinion that just means maybe like the Kobol says, to drink to the point that you're happy, like Yad Ephraim in his dream, right, that you could appreciate what Hashem did for you, that you could make the Aniyim happy. And then in between those you have the Rambam's opinion, who essentially accepts the ruling that you're supposed to drink Adua Yoda, but in his more mild interpretation of what that demands, the Rambam would say that means to drink to the point that you get drowsy and fall asleep. The halacha l'maisa, as I say, it depends who you follow. Those of the Sfarim will follow the mechaber. So okay, I guess, you know, you can drink as much as you want. The Ashkenazim will follow the Pesach of the Ramah. Would say that a person should drink. The real mitzvah would be to drink to get drowsy and to fall asleep. That would really be the mitzvah. If a person, but everybody, as I say, everybody agrees that no matter what you say, this is to the extreme idea of getting drunk on Purim. But even if you're not going to do that, which many people don't, and the poskim say that in our times it's actually a good idea not to get so crazy because of the fact that we don't know how to handle it properly, and it would end up in a lot of other problems. It would end up in not davening properly and perhaps saying the wrong thing to people. Sometimes it could have the negative effect. So therefore, the Ashkenazim are more prone, halakhically speaking, to follow the psak of the Rambam. However, as I say again, Purim still remains, you may Mishta v'Simcha, Purim remains a day of celebration through drinking also. And if we're going to drink on Purim to some degree, which it sounds like everybody agrees that a person should, the idea that we could have in mind could be, if you don't want to do what the Rambam said, to drink to fall asleep, you don't want to do the Adlo Yoda, we should at least have in mind the ruling of the Kobol, which is that we should drink in order to make people happy, in order to be relaxed like Yad Ephraim, that we should be able to appreciate Hashem's miracles and treat other people with the respect that they deserve, and in that way everybody would have a really unfulfilled form. So